Hi, this is Franny from Line Commercial.
Hey, Franny.
Hi.
I guess we'll give people a couple more minutes before getting started. What do you all think?
I think that's fine. It's very early. Well, not very early, but it's early in the morning in California, so I imagine if there's other people in California, they may be.
Okay, here we go.
I agree with joining.
Greg?
It's really only about 3 or 4 after, I think, Brian.
Yeah, that's fine.
They probably heard you say you were going to make work assignments.
Well, no, I think we should probably just get people to volunteer for what they think they can best handle and try to do it that way. I'm not going to be assigning anybody.
Oh.
he's going to pressure you through more subtle means. Okay?
Right.
We need 2 more people, registrars and registries.
I'm here, Glenn.
Oh, sorry. Ross?
I'm stuck in, yes.
Oh.
I thought I'd sit quietly in the back room and not cause trouble.
Okay. So we've got Ross. Have we perhaps got Ken Stubbs? And Vittorio Bassola? Okay, so it's registries and Alec that you're waiting for.
Sarah Deutsch.
Sarah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, it's Victoria here, just joined.
Hey, Victoria, there's almost all of us are on the call right now.
Are we still missing somebody? The registry constituency accepted Ken Stubbs has joined. But in fact, I wonder if we're not being too hopeful because I know Ken is in Geneva.
Oh, yes, he's probably at the Wissus.
With Wissus, yes. So perhaps we've got the full house ballroom.
Yeah, I think we may.
Okay, and in light of that, why don't we go ahead and get started then? This is Brian Darville. I thought what we could do, Barbara and Glenn circulated the agenda from their perspective, and I thought we could just go through those items and then also look at the tasks and the milestones and identify the relevant resources that are available and either have volunteers or make assignments for people to start working on each of those five areas. So Barbara, you want to start with your...
Yeah, basically what I had listed was the request for information that had come to the staff manager and in our discussions I'm happy to say we don't have much progress on this just because we have been very tied up with some business issues over the past few days. But that should be calming down now that they're actually in the meeting. So it was all PrepCon stuff up until now. So the request for statements of interest, I still have to send out the request. Basically, we're just asking that you state that you're representing whichever constituency in the, you know, for the purposes of the task force, and then a statement about who you were employed by, so that people can just identify where you are in the industry, and if you have any other affiliation that would be important to know, such as you sit on the board of directors for a registry or something like that. Then that would be useful information to include, and I'll go ahead and send that out today if I can. The opinion from General Counsel on the status of various participants is still sitting on John's desk, and I'll get him to move on that. The calendar for the task force with the PDP mandated deadlines, that's been through a couple of iterations internally, and I'm actually waiting right now to get some dates from Jordan on Task Force 2 that will slot into where the PDP says they should have occurred, you know, or projected to occur and where they should have occurred. And what that does, I think we may do the same thing after this call, is once we've assigned some work and figure out what we think a reasonable amount of time is to get that work done, then I can draw up a comparison calendar that shows where the PDP would have demanded that the work end and where we think the work will end, and that gives you a good position to go to the council, the GNSO council, and ask for a increase in time for that particular area, for like the work product area, instead of just asking for an extension of time for the overall PDP.
Okay, and in terms of requesting that extension, what's the protocol for that? Is it simply by letter, or?
I don't know. It hasn't come up before, so I imagine we'll develop protocol as we go along. I think a letter is appropriate, an email to the chair of council, who can then distribute it to council.
Okay, Barbara and perhaps others, to what extent do we think that the work on Task Force 3 is going to impact the schedule for the work on the other task forces, vice versa? I mean, do we need to factor that into our analysis, or what's your...
Well, it depends on how much staff input you request for some of it. You know, it's the other thing is to look at the assessment of data gathering and determine whether any of your data gathering relies on information that you would gather from another task force. Like in Task Force 2, there actually is one data element that comes from Task Force 1. And so they have to wait for that particular piece of information to come from Task Force 1. There's other work that can be done, you know, parallel to while Task Force 1 is doing their work. And so not everything, it's not like their work can't start until they get that data, but that there is this element of data that will, you know, have to be included in the final report that, that has to wait for Task Force 1 to produce some results. And so that's something that you may want to consider, is if there are any data points where you're waiting for the work of another group to finish.
Okay.
Or to at least proceed to that point. But honestly, for this group, I'm not sure that there is anything quite like that.
Okay, great. And you're going to get that calendar out?
I need to get the numbers from Jordan that we talked about yesterday, and on Monday, and plug them into the calendar that I have. But if he can't get them to me today, then I'll probably go ahead and send out the other calendar that's the, sort of the strict reading of the PDP, and include our work calendar in it. You know, what compare it to what we decide in this task force are the deadlines for getting certain work done.
What's our timing for making that decision in terms of once you circulate the PDP mandated deadlines? Do we, you know, within a week? Are we? Should we?
Well, you have your work period is about 20 to 35 days, and there's some sort of in between. At 20 days, you're supposed to have produced a preliminary report, you're supposed to collect the constituency statements. And then they get worked into the preliminary report, which is the thing that's due at the end of 35 days. And so there's some time to think about whether you actually need or how much of an extension you're going to request. But if you know straight up from looking at the work details that, you know, the PDP mandates that you have most of this work completed by the first week of January, and you're not even setting the deadline for receiving certain information back from people until the first week of January, then it's clear that, you know, you need an extension on that section of the PDP.
Right, okay.
Does that make sense? Yeah, okay.
Okay. So that brings us to item number 4.
Yeah, which I have not prepared, unfortunately. So I'm afraid I'm not being a very good assistant this week.
Okay, so that's something we'll defer, or is this something we talk about at this point in time?
I think we could talk about it at this point. If we go through the items right now, we might be able to actually get through this and not sort of play it for another, you know, amount of time.
Okay, I think that makes sense. I mean, we've got these 5 tasks or milestones that we're supposed to deal with. Maybe we can just take them one at a time and then identify, you know, what resources we think we already have, as Marilyn had suggested earlier, and figure out perhaps a couple of people on each one who might poncho that and get the information together. It looks like the first one is collecting information on the current techniques that registrars use to verify that the data collected is correct. Presumably there's already other pre-existing materials that deal with that issue, I would think.
Marilyn, do you think there's anything in the prior task force that would apply to this? Did we lose Marilyn, or is she on mute and not pushing the button?
Marilyn, you there?
Yeah, maybe she had to step away.
Yeah.
I'm actually not sure that there is information on this, because I don't think anyone's sort of done a survey of the registrars.
Okay.
To, I mean, like an overall examination of the registrars to determine what they actually do. I can tell you that most of them don't do anything to verify correct information because that's the vast bulk of the complaints that we get about registration information.
Right. Okay. So then I guess we're going to have to, amongst the group, come up with a means to collect that information. And maybe what we could do is, maybe there's a couple of people. I think it would make sense to have somebody from the registrars involved with that, but perhaps somebody else as well, maybe with a different perspective on that, and then see what they can do to gather that information. There's a reference in the notice about survey approaches CTLDs to verify. Have they surveyed that information in the past, or have they conducted any kind of surveys on
they probably have, actually.
Okay.
Because they are much more strict about it. So I think that if we were to contact the CCTLDs, so I'm not quite sure what the mechanism that we're going to use for that, since the CCNSO is not fully organized yet. Perhaps we'll contact a launching group and see if they can point us in the right direction to find this information. Because I'm sure that they actually have studied this, and that it's part of. They may even have a best current practice kind of document available.
Okay, that would be item three as well. Is that something that you would be able to do, Barbara? Or contacting the CCTLDs?
I have to for Task Force 2 as well. So why don't I figure out how that's going to happen? And if it looks like it, I have to speak with Teresa about it a little bit to see what the protocol is for working between the two groups. If it looks like the request will come best from the chair of this group, then I'll let you know that.
That's fine. And I guess that request then would be not only whatever survey approaches they've used in the past about accuracy of contact data, but also the best practices document, which I guess is item three on the.
Right. Well, we're supposed to create a best practices document for a number of these issues, and if they have stuff that pertains to that, then we definitely want to use it. The other place to look for a best practices document is perhaps in the RFCs to see if, I don't know offhand if anyone has done anything on data collection, but they may have, data collection verification.
Okay.
So if somebody wanted to, well, let's wait till we get to item three.
Okay.
Barbara, it's Marilyn. I apologize. I had to step out, and I think I heard someone asking for me as I stepped out.
Yeah, that's okay. We figured you had to step away. I was just asking for item one to collect information on current techniques that registrars use to verify data.
Yeah.
Do you think that there was anything in initial task force that addressed this?
Not that validated what they do.
Just what data they collected and okay,
yes.
That's fine.
The survey asked people what data they found important.
Right.
What elements they found important. It did not specifically ask the registrars what data they collected.
Okay.
Which data they collected or which data they verified?
It didn't ask either.
But all the survey did was ask the respondent what elements they found important and what they used it for, Ron.
Right.
And maybe we should just post the PowerPoint, which has the questions and the responses, the aggregation, to the, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time following the conversation because I can't find the
terms of reference
that you keep referring to. Where should I start looking?
If you go to the gnso.icann.org,
and then issues.
And then issues, yeah. You can get to it through the announcements page on the, it's not on the first page of announcements, but for further announcements, go to that one. And then it's about, two clicks down the page.
Yeah, it's after who is prophecy, and then there's a thing to task force 3.
Who says for 3 improving accuracy, is that the one?
Yes, that's the first.
And it's the 5 tasks that are listed on the last page of the notice, at the end of the notice, for tasks and milestones. We've been talking about item 1.
I'm looking for a numbered list. I was actually on that page.
Oh, yeah, it's not a numbered list. Sorry. We just have numbered it in our heads.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
The other, actually, in some of the other ones, it is numbered. So it's like just a different style in this one. Okay, so we are going to request information from the CCTLDs and find out if they have a best current practices document about verifying information.
Okay.
Do we want to expand that to see if there are other best current practice kind of information out there?
I think that would be useful. Question is, you know, how do we go about doing that?
Yeah.
Something where we could, you know, somehow survey the registrars and see what they may have available.
What I can do there is, you know, I can put a call out for responses, but I don't think that there's going to be, I don't think there's enough there to actually conduct a survey on, certainly. And we might get to the point where we get 5 or 6 responses that say, we don't do anything, here's the 1 or 2 things we do, or here's the 1 really strict thing we do.
Yeah.
I don't expect to get 30, 40, 50 responses back.
I think it'd be useful to see what you get in the way of anecdotal evidence, just so we can, you know,
I agree
what
that
at least a few people are going to say on the issue.
Sure. So, you know, keeping in mind as well that the registrar constituency is an organization of 50 registrars, give or take, and there's roughly 150 or 200 accredited registrars, so the capability of GNSO to actually perform outreach to registrars as a whole is reasonably limited.
I think what would be most useful is, I mean, we should ask these questions within the community, but to look at models outside the community. You know, for example, online directory publishers.
That's item 2. So do we want to move to that item? It's to collect publicly available information on the techniques used by other online service providers.
And I think it could be, in the financial services industry, for example, that would be a great model to look at.
Okay. That's a good idea. What about you, Sarah? Would you be able to maybe take the lead on that and see what you come up with in terms of what's out there publicly available?
Well, I can brainstorm on where to go, but I can't take the lead on doing the survey because it's huge. But I can help brainstorm where we should be looking, and maybe with all of our collective connections, we could think of either trade associations or other groups that might help us pass along information. You know, we can't make it too difficult for these outside groups, or we're not going to get a response.
Okay. No, I agree. That makes sense.
I should point out that the task item, does not mandate a survey. It does say collect publicly available information, and I think that taking on the scope of a survey of that kind would be I could see that being beyond the abilities of this task force to actually manage properly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just afraid that a survey, usually in my list of items, it's a tiny bit above spam in terms of having to respond to it. So, you know, I think the outreach we still could collect some really useful information.
Right. I mean, it looks like we're supposed to get information that's really already out there, that's already available, and that would be the easiest thing to do. I guess finding it is the hard part. And then also there's a second component to this, which is information on the price of services offered by the online service providers. And, I mean, I guess that would be fairly... Well, I don't know, Sarah. You probably have a better feel for that.
Well, what price? What services are you contemplating? Because most ISPs are still working off of a flat fee model
Wait a minute, guys. It's Marilyn. I'm sorry to interject. We should not be asking ISPs, but you're specific to unique kinds of services, right?
I'm sorry?
Brian, the question is to ask, I think, if I understand it, the question is to ask third parties how much they charge for this particular kind of service. Isn't that right?
The verification of data service.
Right.
I think that's the intention of the task. It's not written well to reveal that.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it doesn't say that, but that may be the intention of it, because that makes more sense than what's actually stated here.
Right. I have to support Sarah's explanation of how extremely difficult it is going to be to get this kind of data.
Yeah, I think if there's possibly information available in the public domain, we could get it. Like somebody, you know, in a news article said, yeah, we typically charge a company between $100,000 and $500,000 a year to do this or something. But I don't think we're going to get specifics on it.
But in terms of the price of the services, you're saying that this would be pricing for data verification.
Right.
Right, okay.
I mean, that makes the most sense out of what we're trying to achieve here.
Right.
Pricing for data verification. I don't know that you're going to be able to separate the charge for data verification from anybody's basic business price. It's usually built in.
I think the idea here is that if, for instance, there is some piece of software that people are using that is a recognized tool that they're purchasing from somebody, how much does that software cost? And if it's not anything that simple, then, of course, it's not going to be a cost that can be separated out. Or if it's a service that somebody is providing, like, okay, you send us this data through our verification scheme, and we'll authenticate that it matches the credit card information on supply, and it's all handled through a third party so that the website itself never has to do the verification. It all happens at a third-party site. Then there's probably some fee for service for that. But again, I'm not sure that's information we're going to be able to obtain. I mean, I'm certain it's all proprietary and confidential and such.
One interesting place to look should be the Enum project. They're thinking in advance that fraud and identity theft could be huge issues there, and there are very detailed guidelines on what steps you're going to have to go through to verify the identity of the person opting in.
That's a really good point.
So I'll create a list of some ideas and throw them out to the group.
That would be great.
This is Jenny. I'm wondering if at what point are we going to be considering the comments that have been submitted for the description of Dark City Task Force, because there is a comment on the section
I'm sorry?
There's an important comment that was submitted regarding this task/milestone. And so I'm wondering both at what point we're going to be considering and incorporating the comments that were publicly made into this process. And regarding this this task, there's also, if there is the opportunity to use publicly available information for this task, we should also look at what level of privacy protection is accorded in this process, how the data is used, who verifies it, things like that.
I thought privacy was expressly outside the view of our task force.
I don't think it should be on this one. I think that this is an important consideration. If we're looking at a different process, if we're looking at how they verify, how online service providers verify data, that's an important consideration as well.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed how you said that, the thing about the... I got Greg's comment that we should be looking at how the data is protected against unauthorized modification. That's one issue that I think we probably want to add. But what was your second point?
That we should also look at in their verification procedures, who gets to do this verification, who sees the data, and what privacy protection is involved.
I think that'd be useful information if we could get it, and again, I'm apprehensive about our being able to obtain that kind of information.
Right, I understand. I think a lot of this is a long shot, but I think we should try and include that.
That may make some sense, but I'm just looking at the section of the notice that says what is within the scope and outside the scope, and it says the task force should not consider mechanisms for restricting the public display for some data elements which may lead to a reduction in the provision of false information by those registrants seeking to protect their privacy.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that's a little bit different, but I wonder.
Yeah, Brian, I actually do think it's different. I think what Sarah's requesting is an aspect of how the service is provided for data verification, and I think it's an important aspect that we probably could include some comments on if we are able to, you know, ascertain what those methods are or what the scope is.
Gotcha.
But I'm just not optimistic about being able to get people to reveal that to us.
But in other words, in terms of verifying the data, the issue would be who's going to be verifying it, and how does that implicate privacy concerns with respect to data verification?
Right, so that as we're weighing different data verification modes, that could be an element in how we consider one versus another. This mode of doing it is all automated. No one looks at the data. It's just done through, you know, verifying that street address actually exists in some directory. And then, you know, alternatively, there's this other one where somebody actually looks at the data and keeps a record of it and is able to use it for their own purposes at some other point later.
Right. And was that Franny who was saying there was an important comment posted on that particular issue?
Yes. Sorry,
Franny.
No problem.
Maybe, Franny, we can check that later, but what was the comment, if you could summarize it?
It says, and I'm looking in the archives of the comments, it says, I'll just read the whole thing. Collect publicly available information on the techniques used by other online service providers to verify the data collected is correct, as well as information on the types of services offered by online service provider, as well as information on the level of privacy protection accorded the data, including to whom and under what circumstances the data is provided.
Yeah, okay.
I think if we were to, limit ourselves to sort of some really strict, that this is how they do their data verification. It involves this kind of step, and if any of those steps involve the holding of the data, then that would introduce, you know, issues around privacy. Whereas if there is no viewing or holding of the data, if it's something that, as I say, I know that some of them do something like, you know, check to see if your address exists, and they verify it at that level, and then they don't do anything further than that. They're not trying to authenticate you. They're just trying to say that the data you submitted was accurate data.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Barbara, do you think we'd get any information if we asked Aaron what they do about their database and data? Or?
Yeah, we can ask, but they don't do verification.
They don't have any policy at all, any procedure?
No, because the data comes to them from the ISPs, and there's some data that they gather directly, which is like when they make a delegation to an ISP, then that is data that they've gotten directly, but there have been issues recently about people going in and modifying data, submitting requests to modify data, that have created problems. There's this whole, spoofing problem that's going on. And they really have no effective means of verifying these things without somebody bringing it to their attention and them having to do a great deal of manual labor to authenticate that the person who made the changes really had the authorization to make the changes. It's very labor intensive because the whole process is designed to be automated and trustful. And you know, and so when somebody starts messing with it, there's no good mechanisms for, you know, ferreting that out. That may change, but right now that's how it is. And I know that it's similar at the other registry, member registries.
Hmm.
So they're not a, a really good model for us to use.
Yeah, they're in the same boat.
Right, exactly. And I imagine 90% of the industry is in the same boat because so much of it was based on the trust model. And it's only recently that the, well, not recently, but it's only, you know, at the point where people have feel that the trust model has completely failed that they, you know, address the issue. And I think that there are industries where this has clearly been more of an issue, and the financial industry is one, and ISPs are actually another because you have to have billing data that's accurate and things like that. So I think that we probably will get our best results by looking at places where there's some billing, you know, continual billing action going on, because those are the people who need to most verify that the information that they have is accurate to the point where they can continue to receive money.
Right.
You know, so. And I'm trying to recollect which thing it was that I know I had to go through some address verification thing. I mean, it's as simple as when I go use my ATM or American Express card at certain gas stations, they ask me to put in my zip code. And huh. Because that's the part of the information they're verifying on my credit card. And so I know these practices exist. I just don't know how they're done or who does them. Or,
yeah, I just went online. And there's an article from November 2002 put out by Circle ID that deals with the accuracy of Whois data. And there might be some helpful information on this. I just emailed it to Glenn, a link to the article. But they talk about a service called Fraudit that helps registrars identify inaccuracies during domain name registrations. Maybe that's somebody we could contact and see what information they have that's publicly available.
That'd be great, yeah.
Some leads. But,
yeah, it's offered by a registrar, actually.
Oh, it is? Okay.
So I think we're at a point with this task item, collect publicly available information, that we need to figure out who's going to do the collection of that information. I think we've talked a lot about what kind of information might be available. Well, don't all jump up at once.
Maybe we could get a couple of people involved with that. Sarah, I guess you mentioned you could brainstorm in terms of what might be out there and available.
Yes.
Is that something you could do?
Sure.
And
so you'd put that on the list. You'd sort of email your thoughts on the list and get.
Yeah, and then we could, you know, people might say, well, what about this? Or I know so and so, and then we can figure out what to do with that.
And I could probably find you know, somebody to help. Is it appropriate to get somebody who's not a representative to assist with this? Or
sure.
Yeah. Okay. Because I could probably find somebody who could help with that. Maybe actually Terry Clark, who's the alternate. He's. I don't think Terry's on the call. So I feel like I can safely volunteer him. But I'll touch base with him and see if he can assist with that. Maybe he can work with Sarah in terms of identifying what's out there. And Barbara, what do you think the timing would be for at least getting this information of potential sources together and circulated?
Well, I think we have to take into account the time of year. And I think minimally it's going to take us, like, even without this being the time of year, let's just pretend we're in the middle of, you know, March or something. I think that that's a task that would take minimally 3 weeks. in order to formulate the questions you want to ask, to do some outreach to people to sort of figure out if you're getting the data that you want and return back to people. And that's assuming that everyone is able to sort of go and do this, relatively promptly. So I guess your minimum amount of time would be about 3 weeks, and then you have to take into account that we're not in March, we're in December, and sort of make some judgment about how reasonable it is to contact people right now and get responses from them, and how much time you can dedicate to that and such. So I'll toss it back to you with those considerations.
And maybe we're looking at 6 weeks instead of three, because we're,
I would
generate some ideas between the end, between now and the end of next week. But then the next 2 weeks after that are going to be shot, and the first week of the new year is usually shot.
Yeah.
January 21st or 28th, maybe.
I would try to compress it a little bit more than that, just because I think that once you start generating ideas, people will have a clear sense of what they're supposed to go and ask about. And we can even create like a little short list of questions that we want answers to.
Okay.
I might suggest aiming for, you said the 21st. I think aiming for around between the 15th and 20th for some kind of initial assessment of what data we've got. And then if we need to go out again and ask for data, then say maybe the 28th. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that could work. Sure. You want to say, why don't we say
Can somebody track these dates, because I'm actually not online with me.
and it's Marilyn again. I'm just, as you track the dates, I guess that's what Glenn is going to do. One suggestion I would make, since I'm sort of sitting in the background on two of the task forces and I'm on one, a master calendar for council that shows the dates for all of them is going to be very helpful, because we've got to keep in mind leading up to the ICANN meeting.
Right, and just as a reminder to people, the ICANN meeting is here in March, is at the beginning of the month, rather than typically we've had it towards the end of the month. So we really only have about 8 weeks of work in after the first of the year to have things ready to present in Rome.
But again, it's Marilyn, and I'm just going to intervene from a process standpoint. Guys, when we tried to devise the PDP, it is no secret that I objected to the time frames, and I consistently remind people, if you need to modify the time frame, then you need to do that realistically, and not if you can avoid going back multiple times for an extension, I think you'll find more sympathy on the council to a modification of the PDP time frame.
Right. Just so I'm clear on the dates, Barbara, I thought you mentioned that initially the work would likely carry us into March if we strictly follow PDP guidelines.
That actually was a mistake on my part, and I should have sent out a correction right away, and I'm sorry I didn't. If we hold strictly to the guidelines, then the work concludes sometime in February, but we're clearly already not on that schedule, and so I think it's unrealistic for
Realistically going to be able to complete this before the ICANN meeting in March, or do you think we're going to end up completing it at some point after that meeting?
I think you can realistically have a preliminary report available for the meeting.
Okay, all right. It'll be a preliminary report, but we'll have some time to analyze things after the meeting.
I believe so. I mean, that's my just initial assessment of things. I think that if for some reason we're astonishingly productive, then it could possibly be completed by March. But I, just judging from how much work is involved, I think that's an optimistic assessment.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. All right. So then, with respect to item two, then we're going to, you wanted to have sort of a preliminary sense of what information we have available by January, say, 16 or so, or
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
the date. But that would mean we'd have to do the brainstorming in the next week or two, and then start contacting people.
I would say start contacting people after the first of the year.
Okay.
You can start
right.
whenever
and
you
I
want.
I guess that seems feasible from everyone's perspective. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, why don't we at least shoot for that schedule and then we can see where how things go.
Okay.
Anything else on item two?
The one other thing was to maybe have somebody, I guess it's really more on item one, but have somebody sort of review the RFCs to see if there are any best practices kinds of data that, you know, for data verification, data collection and data verification.
RFCs?
Okay. There may be something in there. I'm not familiar with anything off the top of my head.
I can take a look at that.
Okay.
The reason I'm holding back is because I'm going to be on vacation in the next 2 weeks, and right now I'm at a 4-day conference. So, but things I could do, you know, sort of independently, I'm willing to.
That's an online task. You can just do it sort of like
I'm
when you have a moment.
I'm not taking my PC on my vacation.
Okay. Barbara, I'm sorry. I have to ask a clarification. To see what's in what?
I just asked if anyone wanted to look through the RFCs to see if there were any...
ITF
RFCs. RFCs, got it.
Yes,
if
anyone had written any best practices documents about data verification, because, you know, they get produces informational RFCs. So.
Okay, and who was that volunteered for that?
Greg Ruth.
Greg? Okay, great. All right. So that brings us to item three.
And item three is relying on getting the data from items one and two before it can be.
All right, so that's really something we're going to have to put on hold until probably after January 16, it would seem.
Yeah.
Although to the extent that we can locate publicly available best practices information, that might be something that will greatly facilitate that. Item four is dealing with the possible changes to the contracts to specify what data verification is necessary at the time of collection. What are people's thoughts about how to get at that issue?
I think that it's just it needs somebody to sit through and read, you know, the contracts again to see what areas this might touch on and perhaps to produce a little report on that to the task force.
Barbara, are you talking about the contract?
Yeah.
That needs to be done by ICANN staff.
Well, council needs to determine whether any changes in contracts are required. The review of contracts to see where data verification might be an issue can be done by pretty much anyone.
I really...
I'd have to agree with Mary Lee on that.
Okay, then that's fine.
I'd even go further, that it's a pretty presumptive statement that says that the outcome from the task force is going to say that this is absolutely necessary and these contracts are going to have to change, so what changes are going to have to be put into place.
Well, it says whether any changes. It doesn't say which changes. I mean, it doesn't say that there will be changes. It's determined whether any changes are required.
Let me just offer a thought. There was some extensive analysis of the contracts done for the last task force, Barbara, and actually I might suggest that ICANN staff look at that and think about posting that to all three of the task forces as just a backgrounder. And
that was in which report from the task force?
Well, we knew that wouldn't be from the task force. Council did an analysis of what it would take to implement the consensus policy recommendation. So that would be a Louis Vuitton document?
Yep.
Yeah. I knew there was a reason you needed a historian on the phone.
Exactly.
Very helpful.
Okay, so I'll why don't you assign that one to me and I'll work with council to see if there's anything else that needs to be done there.
All right, great. And then the last item on the task is the determine what verification mechanisms can be used cost effectively to combat the deliberate provision of false information. Additional mechanisms are necessary. So that's a pretty all-encompassing task there.
Well, I think what this relies on is sort of when we create this best practices document, that one element of it can be, you know, to do some assessment of the cost effectiveness of using any of these solutions that are proposed.
Okay, and, so we can combine that with three.
I think there's another part of it, which is the or provide more timely responses. It's like to look at the complaint mechanism and figure out if the current method of dealing with false information is sufficient. False information that perhaps gets past whatever verification mechanism is put in place.
Has there been any, you know, historically, has there been any, presumably there's been some work in this area, I would think, and that there's at least some prior materials we could look to on at least part of this task. Does anyone have any information on that?
That Circle ID report might have something, the one that you mentioned before. May have information on what other mechanisms are available or how big of an issue it is that people think that there's deliberately false information. I mean, I can tell you that the vast bulk, like 99% of the complaints that we get about registration information is false information.
Isn't this information going to fall out of bullet two?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Isn't there a serious dependency between this last bullet and bullet number two? In other words, once that collection is, that collection of that information has been conducted, that we can actually conduct the analysis?
Right. Yeah, I said that we would include it. Item three is the analysis part, and I said we should probably tie item five into item three.
Well, three is an analysis of the data collected in one and two. I see. Okay.
Yeah. So I think we may have to revisit item five to see if what we've collected as data helps us answer this question appropriately. Because I'm not sure. I don't know.
Right. Not sure what we can do on that at this point in time. Okay. Well, maybe we can look for. Be useful. I wonder whether it'd be useful to look for publicly available information on this issue as well, even though that's not necessarily part of the task, because that might give us some information we can use in creating the best practices document. I'll see if I can get somebody to look at what they can just find quickly on this issue, and if there's anything good that comes of that, I'll go ahead and circulate it.
Okay.
If anything useful turns up there. Okay, Barbara, getting back to your agenda, are we item five? I mean, I guess we're just kind of, we've done some preliminary assignments on the tasks for the task force. Is there anything further that you wanted to say on item five on your agenda?
No, I think we've pretty much covered what was there.
What was there?
Hang on. I think we've covered that as best we can for this call. Probably by next week we'll have a better idea of how to fill that up.
Okay. Why don't we talk for a second just about the schedule of the remaining calls? What do people think? My thoughts were that we could have a call next Wednesday, the 17th, and then not have another call until January 7th. Would that, do people think that works? Is that feasible? Should we try to schedule something between the 17th and the end of the year? What are people's thoughts on that?
Well, as I said, I'll be on vacation, so 17th, I can't make that call.
Okay, well, why don't...
I'm done for the year myself as well.
You're done for the year as well?
As of Friday, yeah.
Ross, it's Maryland. You're what?
you burnt me out on transfers, man.
All right, well, what do you think then? You want to just have the next call on January 7th? Is that going to be too long, or what do you all think about that? Does that, practically speaking, that may make the most sense?
Brian, maybe you should just take a poll of who could be on, because you could advance work as long as you don't make decisions, even if you've got if you've got 3/4 of your transport.
Right. All right, who would be available next Wednesday?
This is Sarah. I'm available.
Okay, Sarah and Franny. I can be on the call. What about you, Marilyn?
Yep.
Be there?
Yep. I can be on the call.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you, why don't we go ahead and schedule something for next Wednesday. We recognize a couple of people won't be available. And at the very least, maybe we can, we can follow up on
item one and two. I would actually recommend that we get some thoughts on this out as soon as possible on what we discussed and sort of have people thinking about what they're going to look for in when they go and talk to people and such. Because even if you're not working full-time or being able to meet, the chances are that opportunities will arise to do some of this data collection. I would hate for us to completely put everything off until January.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that makes some sense. So, all right, why don't we go ahead, and then we'll have another call next Wednesday at 10, and then we'll just, I guess the agenda would be to follow up on whatever additional information we get on the items 1 and 2 from Barbara's agenda, and then talk about task force items 1 and 2 and take it from there. So to be fair, presumably it'll be a relatively short call, but we can generate some ideas and then focus on gathering some additional information that is needed for some of these tasks. Anything else people want to talk about before we conclude tonight?
This is Franny. I again, I'm curious about the mandated comment period, how those are included. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But it's a binding process to ask for public comment. I just wonder how that affects our work.
When the preliminary report is completed,
mm-hmm.
It gets posted and that a 20-day public comment period opens. And so the work of the task force cannot be concluded with a final report until the end of that time period.
Okay. And then what are the procedures for taking into account those comments? I mean, just like the comments
they have
submitted
to be,
for the description of work.
Yeah, they have to be actually more than the comments for the description of work. The public comments during the public comment period have to be incorporated in the final report.
Okay.
Summarized and incorporated.
You're talking about the public comments that come after the preliminary report, Barbara?
Correct, yeah.
Now, with respect to the public comments that Franny's asking about, I mean, it sounds like Franny's saying, to what extent do we take account of the public comments made on the scope of work to alter the scope of work? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, I'm getting at both. Yeah, definitely.
The scope of work, it's Marilyn, and maybe Barbara should speak to this, but the scope of work, you have to remember that certain things are approved by council.
Uh-huh.
We take into task forces are charged with taking into account comments that are received and engaging in outreach to get further information and comments. But to revise a scope of work would require a request to council to make that modification.
Okay, so is there a process where council then reviews the comments that were made and then submits to the task force's their thoughts on these?
on the comments, or?
No, I think the process would be that if the task force feels that the comments have introduced substantive questions that almost necessitate the expanding of the scope of work, then they would submit a request to council.
Right. Okay. I thought Marilyn's point was that it was immediately a council procedure.
No, the task force would have to make that recommendation, but Franny, all reports from task forces have to include links to and documentation of comments that have been received. So council will see comments, because the interim report, for instance, will reflect the comments that have been received.
Okay. All right. Reflect as in just that they'll be listed there, or when comments are made, you know, when we give our final report, the task force will actually consider them.
Well, this is what I'm saying, is that I think that if you felt that there was a substantive comment that sort of made it almost imperative, not necessarily imperative, but there would be great advantage to changing the scope of work to include these comments that have been raised, then I think the task force would have to go back to council to request that the scope of work be expanded in that direction so that they could do it as part of their workflow. I think that what we've talked about here so far, to expand to include the comments about privacy as regards data verification, doesn't get us into the privacy question per se as it regards who lives.
Right, I agree.
I don't think in this instance we need to perhaps do that.
Right. No, I definitely agree. I don't think that the comments that were submitted touch on that. I think that there were comments that were just about a misinterpretation of the term data quality.
Right.
That was listed in our description, in our description of work, but it really doesn't have to do with our milestones. So I don't think that it affects necessarily what we are going to be looking for as far as what other people are doing to verify their data. So I'm not really worried about that. It's just, I just want to make sure that in the end, the comment period that, comes as a result of our report, that those comments, that the period doesn't just, the process doesn't just include, that we list them, but that we really talk about them and look at them and then,
I think if somebody were at that stage to say, you guys have missed the point completely and you didn't look at this and you didn't question that, and we agreed as a task force that those were issues that we probably should have examined, then, that would be appropriate to highlight in the report as, work that needs to continue, and that, whatever the final task force report is, it should be regarded as incomplete because it didn't examine these issues. Something
okay.
Along those lines.
Great. That's very helpful. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
Let's hope that doesn't happen, shall we?
I guess at this point, should we just go ahead and adjourn, and then we'll reconvene next Wednesday with those who are available for the call and see what additional progress we can make then?
Sounds great.
All righty.
All right. Talk to you all later.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.